Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Oculus Rift Insanity, a 101 special.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our hearts and for Boston, for Boston, take sweet drums of liberty. And ever with a right shot as they bump to touch a little more in the market shop. For Boston, for Boston, our glory is over.
Okay, I'm joined here by Eric Esmussen of 82 Apps, and he is showing off the video game...
Disco Dodgeball.
Disco Dodgeball?
Yep.
So first of all, tell us a little bit about 82 Apps.
Okay, it's just me. I've been making games for about 3 years. Kind of like multiplayer competitive games is really what I love to do. And this is my first PC game, and it runs on the Oculus Rift.
So... where did you come up for the concept of Disco Dodgeball?
So it kind of came in pieces. So I wanted to make a dodgeball game for a while because I love projectile combat games. That's always the most satisfying kind of first-person shooter to me. And I thought, okay, if you're just throwing dodgeballs around, like it's fun, it's simple, it's something I can kind of make nice and stylized. I don't need a bunch of weapons. You know, I'm a one-person
game. It's for all ages.
Yeah, it's for all ages. I don't need to worry about, you know, blood and guts, any of that stuff. So just like super simple, crazy fun. That's what I wanted to make. So,
and I love the style of the game. Would you say like a film like Tron played a bit of the influence of the overall look of the title?
Yeah, definitely. So Tron, Daft Punk. I eventually want to make these like giant dance clubs, and there is music that I have in the game, and the arena kind of responds to the music. So it's this whole like, you know, audio visual sensory experience, and with the 3D, it kind of makes it even crazier.
Were you the one who also composed the music in it, or was it someone else?
Nope, I'm having some original music written, and then I'm licensing some music, too, from some other people.
That's awesome.
So it'll be just, the soundtrack's going to be really, really important and really critical to the game, so.
Right, because without a good soundtrack, you've just got a run-of-the-mill title. I've always believed that you need an awesome soundtrack to create an awesome game.
It makes a huge difference, and I love electronic music, and the game fits with that kind of style really well, so I'm excited to bring them together and make something really cool.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about some of the modes that we can expect from the final game version of Disco Dodgeball?
Okay, so there's regular deathmatch, there's score battle, so you're trying to kind of complete these trick shots, like mid-air catches and whatnot. There's elimination mode, so that's where there's no respawning, kind of more classic dodgeball. There's a hoops mode, so there's these giant suspended rings, and you have to throw the dodgeball through the enemy ring, so it feels much more kind of like basketball if everyone had a ball and you could hit each other with them. And then eventually I want to add in, too, like a checkpoint race mode. So that's kind of more like real roller derby, where you're racing around this arena, you're jumping up ramps, and you're also hitting each other with dodgeballs.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's sort of like rollerball of sorts.
Yeah, yeah. So the full name is Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball, but most people just go with the Disco Dodgeball, so.
Yeah. How did you know that this game would be a great fit for the Oculus Rift?
So when I see people play the game normally, and a dodgeball flies at your face, they do the head duck thing, and that's just on a normal monitor, so I was like, okay, this, like, the idea of flying through the air and dodging these giant balls heading at your face is going to be, like, a really cool experience on the Rift, so.
And you've already had this game available on Steam as early access.
It's not on Steam yet, but I'll do a green light campaign very soon. I haven't launched there, but you can get it from my site, 82apps.com. You can basically buy a copy now. It's a lot cheaper than the final version, and you get all future updates and the final game included in that, and a Steam key if when it gets there, too.
Cool. And how much does it cost right now on your site?
Right now it's $5. The final price will probably be 10 to 15 based on How much attention I get and how much money I put in the game, but right now it's only $5. So
that's not a bad price for a game that's going to be finalized and everything. It's kind of, I wouldn't say it's kind of like a Kickstarter, but at the same time, yeah. It's like you're paying for a game that you're getting early access for, and then you're getting the final version all for the same price.
And the other key too is, so it's online multiplayer, so it's the kind of game where you can play it now. It's a ton of fun now. It doesn't need a lot more stuff to be fun. It just will look cooler eventually. So you know, you can play it now, and you'll totally get $5 worth, at least. You know, you can just play it forever.
Now, do you see yourself releasing this on other platforms in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, I think this could work really well. So right now, PC, Mac, eventually Linux, you know, Oculus Rift. I'd love to get on consoles. You know, first-person shooters work well on consoles.
Yep.
Steambox. And, you know, eventually maybe, like, I kind of cooled off on iOS, but it could actually work really well on iOS because of the shooting mechanics. You can actually shoot a name at the same time because there's just the one kind of release button. So a lot of shooters don't work well on mobile,
yep.
But this one, like, maybe could. So, but that's not what I'm primarily targeting.
Understandable. But, yeah, Disco Dodgeball, available right now, early access on your official website.
Yep.
Eric, thank you so much for joining us here on Boston Bastard Brigade. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you got for us in the near future.
Thank you.
Joined right now by Rowett and Ichiro from Dejabon Games. They have created some of my favorite titles, like Ah, and the upcoming Drunken Robot Pornography. They're here at the Oculus Rift event showing off a new edition of Ah called Oculus.
I like that. Can we hire him?
Yeah.
So, welcome to Boston Bastard Brigade.
Thank you.
So, it feels like a game like Ah is perfect for something like Oculus. Like, did you know that once this thing came out, the Oculus, that you wanted to create a new experience with the title of Ah on it?
Well, it was actually Ah that spawned the Oculus, right? Everybody was looking at Ah and saying, what technology can we create around the device? And suddenly they created tablets, right? The tablet computer around Ah, because obviously you want something where you can think, you know, like this. And then somebody said, no, that's bullshit, man. We need to create the concept of VR because we need Ah on VR. And that's how it happened. I may be lying about all of that.
It's okay. Sometimes a lie sounds better than the truth.
I know, right?
But what really got you into finally creating Ah for the Oculus? Like, what were some of the things that pushed you towards adapting it into the VR setup?
Sure. The guy who pushed us in that direction is outside, Alex Schwartz from Alchemy Labs, had just got his fresh new Oculus. And obviously it's something that, you know, we looked at and said, that'd be kind of neat. And he came to us and said, well, how about this weekend? Let's, you know, I want to try and do it. And we said, okay, sure, why not? And he came back on Monday and had, I believe it was just in the weekend, yeah. had a working prototype.
Very straightforward prototype.
Right. And so Alex was one of our, you know, collaborated with us on the tablet port. So we had PC versions, we had done the tablet version, and he did the, you know, they worked, he and his company worked on the Oculus version. And then I think a week later they had the finely tuned, polished, delicious version that you see out here.
Now, what are some of the differences between the original Ah and the Oculus?
Yeah, well, let's see. So Oculus is based on Ah for the Awesome, which is the semi-sequel to Ah. So you get a metric shit ton of new levels. Can I swear?
Yes, yes.
Me, Grob. Anyway, you know, so you get a bunch of faster levels. You get a bunch that actually put you in, you know, to, oh my God, I'm falling, and I'm really falling at a speed that I think I would be falling if I were falling off a skyscraper, as opposed to the maybe a more relaxed, if I can put it that way, original Ah.
Mm, right. I mean, the Ah for the Awesome levels, as the name might imply, were for people who could, you know, were already pretty good at Ah, and so they're harder and faster. You get, their levels are longer.
Yeah, I mean, so it's more frenetic. I think it's more personal because you have the screen right in front of you.
Right.
And you know, aside from that, it was just a matter of tuning awesome to the VR.
I mean, the thing that's interesting about it is, one of the things I think is that the, while the control scheme is the same, you have this additional bit of being able to look around while you're jumping, while you're moving. The head movement doesn't affect movement in the game, but you can be looking up at the skyscraper you're falling from. Now, you have to look back so you don't, you know, crash into something, but I think that's one of the really neat things when people play it for the first time. You'll see them kind of looking around, and all of a sudden, you could be looking at the building while you're falling, and you notice detail that you would never have seen before. That was always there. That detail was in the art.
Yeah.
You like, just never saw it that way.
I never noticed the cars driving by on the road on a regular version
of Awe. Exactly. So that definitely adds a whole, you know, adds another dimension, I think, to the game.
So. Because you get so immersed while playing it that you're looking around the buildings, you're just in awe of what you're seeing, but then you quickly forget, oh crap, I need to look back down to make sure I don't die.
Right.
With developing for the Oculus Rift, did you do a lot of other testing with the Oculus? Like, did you try out any other things besides with Odd, like any new ideas or topical stuff?
Well, we haven't really gotten into the fresh stuff just yet, because I view the development of games for any new technology as sort of twofold, right? Number one is, what can we do with our existing games, and how can we implement this new technology into that? And then number two, which is arguably more interesting, once we have a proficiency there, what can we do that's completely novel that you can't do outside of using this technology? So I think 2014 is really going to be the year for that, whereas 2013, whatever year it is, was the year for the former.
Yeah. And I could totally see a couple of your other titles doing very well on the Oculus. Drunken Robot Pornography is one title that would be work wonders on this.
Yeah, so Jetpack, first-person bullet hell shooter.
While being able to like bounce around and see everything, I think that would be awesome. Because in DRP, as you know, you're in constant motion. And so I think being able to do that and like sort of feel that, I think, would be really neat. I know Elliot, who's our lead developer on the lead tech on that, is pretty excited about the prospect. So no promises yet, but I think that'd be something that would be really neat for us.
Yeah. Now I'm also trying to think of how someone like Drop It Like an Ugly Baby can be fit into the Oculus.
God, we haven't tried it yet.
We haven't, yeah.
So, you know, for those who don't know, Drop That Beat Like an Ugly Baby is our game that is a sequel to Awe that happens 20 years after Awe and takes your music and turns it into these levels. So you have all these cities that are throbbing to the music and twisting and winding, and if you play Enya,
it doesn't twist and wind nearly as fast. It's, you know, it's a mellow, relaxed experience.
Yeah, versus Skrillex, where it's like...
Yeah, it's flying towards you, right?
I would love to see what that looks like on the Oculus.
Right. I mean, you know, functionally, it's still a game that, I mean, the bones of it are similar to us. So I know we can do it. We can do anything, but I know that it wouldn't be that hard to go from what we have for tech-wise to make that work, I would guess. But it would definitely be infinite number of levels.
Any level would be imagine these things flashing. Would you just die?
Millions of songs, million different styles of levels. It's kind of like why I loved Space Invaders Infinity Gene, because they had that mode where you can take your music library and turn them into levels, and every level was totally different. It was like not every level was...
I never did that with that game. I love the game. Never did the music.
It's amazing. Okay. It works great with like music by Fucked Up in the Hives. If you want to see a crazy level, play it with anything from Tyrannosaurus Hives.
I will do that.
But I've got to ask, right, because we're almost close to PAX East in a few months.
Oh, God.
And, starts again.
Yep. So I got to ask, does Deja Bond Games have something new working under their sleeve that they're hoping to show up on?
Well, just yesterday we launched the iPhone, iPad, and Android versions of Monster Loves You. We are working on three titles right now. You know, Drop That Beat Like an Ugly Baby, Drunken Robot Pornography,
and Elegy for a Dead World, which is this totally intense game that's just like that's
I think
nothing
you're lying.
Like,
No, you're totally lying. It's the opposite of Awe.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Right? So it's more of a inner peace sort of style game.
It is a game that is based on the works of three British romantic poets, where you explore long dead civilizations and write about them.
Interesting. That is a very unique concept that I've never heard before. So look forward to seeing that hopefully at PAX East this coming year.
I think we put out a teaser a few weeks ago, so yeah, you should definitely check that out. We can send it over to you.
Excellent. Ichiro, Rowan, thank you so much for joining me here on Boston Bash Brigade. Be sure to check out these guys' titles on DejaBallGames.com. You can find them on Steam, on their official website, on your iPhones and iPads, any place you look. But definitely check out because it is such a fun game. Alright, I'm here with Jono Forbes from Defective Studios showing off the game Gimbal Cop. This was a title that I played a couple of years ago over at the Boston Festival of Indie Games when it was back on iOS, but now it's been remade for the Oculus Rift. So, Jonas, welcome to Boston Bash Brigade.
Thank you.
So, the first question I have, and it's probably the most blunt question I have, what the hell is a Gimbal Cop?
Well, the name is a pun on gimbal lock, which is a 3D rotation error that will cause it to screw up. So it's something we ran into a lot dealing with the games, so we ended up going with that and then kind of worked with the cop narrative out of there.
Okay. So how is playing Gimbal Cop on the Oculus Rift different from playing it on your iOS or tablet?
Right. So very different experience when it's in your face than when it's, you know, on a tiny little screen in your lap. For one thing, so you mentioned that you played it, I think it was just 1 year ago at FIG.
It was a year ago. It was the first FIG.
Yeah, the first FIG, a year ago. So when you played it a year ago, we were showing off the multiplayer iOS and Android capabilities of it. For one thing, we have changed the game a bit since then. That mode has evolved. That is a asymmetric multiplayer racing game where one player is making the track while everybody else is racing on the track. The mode we're showing off today in the Rift is just the player creating the track, single-player mode. So that's just flying around freely in space, collecting stuff, not crashing into your tail. And the big difference, aside from, you know, being in VR rather than being on a phone, head look is huge, being able to look around and see where you're going without going in that direction, as well as scale. That's really the most striking thing about VR is that things are actually life-size. Whereas you're looking at a screen, it's like, you know, this little 1 centimeter object looks very different when it's life-size.
Yeah. And I know odds are the answer to this is yes, but was it a lot more difficult trying to develop this game for the Oculus Rift than it was for your phone or tablets?
No, actually. Developing for the Rift is very straightforward. We're using Unity, and Oculus gives a Unity SDK where you just plug in a prefab, and that gives you the stereo camera and head tracking. So technically, it's very straightforward. Designing for VR is really the challenge there, and we knew that we wanted the game to work in VR from the get-go, so we were always conscious of that, so that wasn't really a problem. Whereas developing on mobile, you're working with much lower power hardware. You know, the Rift is plugged into a gaming PC, whereas on mobile you're dealing with, you know,
the mobile,
much less of a machine.
Yeah.
So that's a lot harder.
You're showing off the single-player aspect, a little bit based on the old video game of Snake, correct?
Yeah, so this is like a 3D variant of Snake, where you're flying around in 3D, avoiding your tail, collecting the goodies. So, 3D Snake.
Okay. For the Oculus Rift version, when it comes back to going to the multiplayer, how is playing Gimbal Cop on the Oculus Rift going to be different from the, you know, the mobile version? Like, is there going to be different aspects, different perceptions?
We are still committed to making it omni-platform, so you can still play a multiplayer game. You know, one person's on an iPhone, one person's on an Android tablet, one person's on a gaming rig with a Rift. You know, whatever combination you want, they're all going to work together. You know, a bunch of Rifts multiplayer would be really cool, but we also don't want to require that everybody works on the same platform. So it's totally possible that, you know, this guy is playing in the Rift right now, and I could pop out my phone and go join that game in progress. So that's definitely something we're committed to keeping in the game, as it's been a goal all along.
Excellent. And are you guys close to finishing this version of Gimbal Cop, or is it still a little bit more of a work in progress?
Yeah, so it is a work in progress. We're, you know, in private alpha right now. We're looking at open alpha in mid-December, and that will definitely be this mode, the 3D Snake single-player mode. Hopefully it'll also be the multiplayer racing mode. That one has just been a lot of work because it's a really open design space trying to figure out how to have this asymmetric flyer racer thing. So yeah, this mode for sure will be ready this year. Hopefully also the other mode.
Excellent. And where will people be able to find it? Will it be on Steam, on your official website?
Right. It'll be on our website at first. That's defectivestudios.com. We would love to get onto Steam soon thereafter. And then once we launch the mobile versions officially, then it'll be on Google Play and the App Store, iOS App Store.
Excellent. Gimbal Cop coming out soon for all your really, just about everything. Jonas, thank you so much for joining me here on Boston Bash Brigade, and I look forward to seeing what you guys are working on in the near future. Oculus Rift event, there is one other thing that they're showing off that isn't part of virtual reality. It's this really cool robot called Now, and I'm here with David and Russell, who have been working with the robot. And could you please explain to us, like, what is Now and how is it different from any other robot we've seen?
Okay, so Now is basically a humanoid robot that specializes in education for STEM and high schools and also colleges. You can very easily teach it to dance, sing, talk, walk. But in doing so, you learn programming. So it's a pretty amazing tool.
So yeah, like you can learn from very simple basic programming, you know, which is mostly directed to high school students, to complex algorithms, which, you know, it's focused on the research area for universities. We also have another market, which is treat kids with autism as well,
mm-hmm.
Which has been working very well with the robot.
So it's teaching these children with autism about, you know, maybe cognitive behaviors, how to even talk to people through using of the robot as maybe sort of a practice of sorts?
Yes, children with autism are just drawn to technology naturally, so when they see the robot, it has a nice neutral appearance so that they can kind of interface with the teacher, you know, behind the robot and learn lessons, you know, about safety, for example, or just learning lessons to talk maybe more to other students, because it looks, it's a robot, but at the same time it looks like a human, so it kind of bridges a gap for them. So.
And as I said previously, as someone who is autistic, I that does back up a lot of things. I myself had a lot of issues when I was a kid trying to talk with others. So seeing something like this that could really help out, it could really, you know, push more of the boundaries of these kids being able to reach out towards other people and actually, you know, have great conversations with them.
Yeah, it's great.
You've been showing a little bit of the presentation of what Now can do with some of, like, the conversations, everything, some of the dances. What are some of the other things that you're hoping to push towards for Now? Like, what are some of the other things that you would like to see it do for real world people, basically?
There's some cool applications for elderly care and just making robotics. It's a good tool to show, you know, test out new things in robotics, maybe treatment in hospitals, you know, maybe a child is looking at the robot while they're getting a shot and it's not as scary. Also, we're involved with the RoboCup, and this is an awesome league. You know, in the year 2050, the goal is to have a robot team compete against the leading human team, and hopefully, you know, win. But it's a pretty interesting competition we're part of.
And this is the one that's kind of taken place of the ones that used to be of the robot dogs.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, related also to this event where we're using the Oculus, we're also seeing in the future working with telepresence, so you will be able to use an Oculus and you can see what the robot is seeing. No? And for example, like in one of the cases and examples will be, you want to visit one place that is far away. Let's say here in the U.S., you want to visit Japan, for example. So you have a robot over there in Japan, and you can control the robot to walk around, and you will be able to immerse yourself in that world, seeing everything just being sitting on your couch.
My friends here at Wicked Anime are just like, oh my god, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds more affordable.
But that's a really cool concept, and another great idea is, and I think you've touched up on it in some of your discussions with the people out there, is someone who is physically disabled being able to do normal things through the robot. Like, for example, with the soccer, if there's someone who's paralyzed and still wants to play, they can use the Oculus Rift to see, and then use the robot to actually control and go up against the human players.
Yes, definitely. It's really awesome. Robotics and telepresence is really a cool field to be looking at right now. And also, an interesting note to mention is, like, the DARPA challenge right now is to create a humanoid robot that can go into dangerous situations, for example, like nuclear plant in Japan that happened. So
like Fukushima.
Yeah, yes, Fukushima. And you have that. You have places humans can't go, and you can really be there and fix it. So if we have robots like that available in an emergency situation, it could really save lives and make a difference. So.
And it also brings to mind, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Gamer with Gerard Butler, how they would actually use these robots in war instead of humans. So instead of human casualties, there's just robots that just get beaten up and such.
Yep. Yeah.
How did you two get involved with NOW in the first place?
I've always loved robots since I was a kid, I heard that Aldebaran was coming to Boston, so I sent my resume right away, and I lucked out and got a job repairing the NOWs, and it's really a fun trip. It's been a great ride. So.
In my case, I'm not from the U.S., I'm from Peru, so I always also been very passionate about robotics. I decided to come here and find a robotics company, and luckily I found Aldebaran, and finding all the cool stuff that they were working on, I found it very interesting, and I was able to got this job, and I'm very happy with it.
Yeah. A big thing with Aldebaran is that we have robots where our goal is really to just make robots that help people genuinely. So there's a lot of companies that have side projects with the military, or even if they're made projects, which they have a place in robotics, but we really want to help people very in a wholesome kind of emotional way with our robots. So
you were talking earlier that you guys are, or rather the company is, very close to building a full size version of NOW. How soon do you think this will, I won't say be available on the market, because I know that's probably a couple of years down the line, but how soon can we see something like that, in, at least in prototype form, shown off at presentations like this?
So we have a project called Romeo that is a pretty unique project. It's basically a full-size NOW. And we're actually finishing up prototypes now. So, if you look on YouTube right now, you can see some videos of Romeo. But it's just kind of, it's a similar vein to, like, Asimo and stuff. It's kind of in a prototype phase. But I think in the future, pretty soon, we're going to start seeing robots being a more, more relevant. Yeah, prevalent in society, so
close to what a human like in terms of size, like capabilities, dexterity in their hands, for example. I think that's we're not very far from that reality.
Yeah, I remember a couple years ago I was reading this report on how in Japan they were slowly but surely starting to use robots in like hospitals and in nursing homes and such. And how they were seeing that this was a much better plan, a much better setup than actually hiring regular human beings, because these robots can help these people 24/7 without having really, to take much of a break, a section of some little maintenance here and there. And that they're hoping by, I think it was the year 2025, that all the hospitals and nursing homes over there will have these robots working and helping, patients and people living in these homes as well.
Yeah, in the future, robotics is going to be pretty involved with many aspects of life. And I think a lot of people are kind of afraid of robots like taking over jobs and stuff. But I think initially it's going to be a slower transition than most people think, that overnight that people are going to be replaced by robots. But you can see, like, for example, at the store today, you'll see checkout self-checkouts. And in some way, that's an automated way of, you know, speeding up the process. And I don't have a problem with using a self-checkout. But also, I think companies are also going to realize that they can have robots working overnight rather than replacing employees. So you're going to have people, you know, a company is not going to want to look and say, hey, you know, we just fired a bunch of people for robots. They're not going to want to have that image. So
no, what they'll probably do is they'll have the robots for the late night stuff. They'll have the regular humans from, say, like the 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. and then from 10 p.m. and more on. Yeah. That's when the robots are going to take over.
Sure.
Take over to help specifically. Yeah. This isn't going to be a Skynet sort of situation.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe.
We're not sure.
No. So, I want to ask for consumer's sake, for people who are interested in owning something like a Now, like, how many years do you think it'll be before the regular person can own something like this, and how much do you think it's going to cost them?
So that's kind of a battle. We're always trying to get the cost lower, and you know, as we move forward. But I think we're going to probably see consumer versions of Now maybe in as little as a year, maybe 2 years. So pretty soon, and we want it to be a really robust platform that, you know, can take a beating. Right now, it's pretty robust, but we want to be even more robust, more dynamic. And also, it's kind of, you know, have a lot of applications, so the people that, like right now we're geared towards teaching programming and stuff, but we want it geared to, so if someone can buy it, like if you have an iPhone, you don't have to program an iPhone to use it per se, but we want robots to be at the same vein. You have it out of the box, it does a lot of things for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you probably want, once you have a robot, you probably want him to do your laundry, you know, to do your dishes, you know, give you a beer or something like that. So
record your podcast show. But Russell, David, thank you so much for joining me here on Boston Bash Brigade. For people who are interested in looking up more information right now, what's the best place for them to check?
www.aldebaranrobotics.com. If you just search Now, NAO robot on Google, you'll see tons of videos, tons of information about Now. And you can see really cool dances and a lot of developer projects too.
Very cool. Russell, David, thank you so much. And I look forward to the future of robotics.
Thank you.